for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from Sex and Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday morning, April the 1st, 1994. Spring family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas.
He is Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
He is my Lord.
Amen.
You say that?
He is my Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And he is the Christ of Calvary.
Who is the Christ of Calvary?
Jesus.
And who is the Lord Jesus Christ? Who is he?
He's the Son of God.
He's my Savior. He's the Prince of Peace.
He's my banner, Nisi. Shalom, the Prince of Peace.
Taniski, the Lord my righteousness. Rohi, the Lord my shepherd. Shema, the Lord is here.
Hallelujah.
He is. Shua, he is my salvation. Gala, the Lord my redeemer. That's who the Lord is. That's who the Scripture says he is. That's who the Scripture calls the Lord Jesus. Jehovah Gala, the Lord your redeemer. Jehovah Elyon, the Most High God, the Lord Jesus. Jehovah Elon, the Most Loved Jesus. Praise the Lord. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of armies, the God of victories. Jesus is his name. Who is the Lord Jesus? He's King of kings and Lord of lords. And Jesus is his name. Yes, he is El Shaddai. He is Elohim. He is Adonai. He is Jehovah, Yahweh, the great I Am. Genesis 1:1, Yahweh. John 1:1, Yahweh. Genesis 23:14, Yahweh, the Alpha and Omega. I am Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. From Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, Jesus is.
Hallelujah.
Jesus is.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Who is the Lord Jesus? King of kings and Lord of lords. And Jesus is my Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, that we can get that into our very being so that we can live and be the living example of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
That we can live, that Jesus can live through us, that he can live what he is through us. He is all those things and more to each one of us. Rock of Ages, Rose of Sharon, Lily of the Valley, Bright and Morning Star, Bread of Life, Tree of Life, River of Life, Jesus. But that we can understand and comprehend and get that within us so that that becomes a living part that lives through each one of us. That we are that river that is flowing out unto mankind. That's what we're supposed to be. We are supposed to be the living reality, the living river of life. Jesus liveth in me. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, what did I do? I had a note here somewhere. Oh, here we are. Well, in Exodus chapter 20, God says in Exodus chapter 20, and in verse 5, he says, I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation of those that do not obey my word. Now, we have studied here for several years since the Lord gave us an understanding and a revelation of the curses that we are under.
because of the sins of our fathers. And God says here that we're visited with the iniquity of our fathers to the third and the fourth generation. And again over in Deuteronomy 23, now there are other places where this is repeated, but we got so much to teach about here. It's such short time before that clock up there will say 12 o'clock or thereabouts, and we've got so much that we need to study and then to do as well here. But in the 23rd chapter of Deuteronomy, it says this, verse 2, it says, "A bastard or illegitimate child shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to their tenth generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord. An Ammonite and a Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to their tenth generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever." Now, 10 generations, is where, if you study, you'll find it's approximately 400 years. And it says here that an illegitimate child, a child of illegitimacy or a child of incest, is cursed through the 10th generation of their ancestral heritage. And it says that an Ammonite and a Moabite shall not enter into the 10th generation also. If you go back and look up who the Ammonites and the Moabites are, you'll find that they are the children of Lot by incest through his two daughters. Incest relationship carries a 10-generation curse. Today, America is cursed with the curse of incest. It is, and I believe that curse exists in every single person alive unless they have been delivered or the curse has been broken. I believe every living person is under the curse of incest because it is a 10-generation curse. And in 10 generations, I believe there's 1,053 ancestors that you have, and someplace in that ancestral line, incest has been committed. And so also, the curse of the bastard has been committed. There is an illegitimate child somewhere in the 10 generations prior to your present existence. So I believe that every living person is under the curse of the bastard, under the curse of incest, and that curse needs to be broken over your family line. Now, and God says here that they can't enter in. The reason that they can't enter in or come in to the tabernacle or the temple or now to the Holy of Holies is because of the sins of our fathers. And what is the sins of our fathers, really? What are the sins, or just plain, what is the sin of our fathers? Rebellion. It is rebellion. Rebellion about what? It's rebellion against God's Word. See, let's look again at Exodus chapter 20. What did I read there in Exodus chapter 20? Now, some of your Bibles read as I read. The King James does not read as I read. However, I am reading from the King James. But I read it as it should read. Uh-oh, I've got Leviticus 20. I want Exodus 20. That'll do better. And it says, "I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visit the iniquity," or the lawlessness, "of the fathers upon the children." You know, Isaiah 53 says that he took my iniquity. He bore my iniquity, my lawlessness, my rebellion. Jesus took my iniquity and my rebellion. "Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and the fourth generation of those," King James says, "hate me." Some of you who have other translations will say, "that do not obey my word." So what is man's problem? It is rebellion against the word of God. That is the sin. Satan's sin was rebellion against God. Pride, but basically he rebelled against God. And that same rebellion is in every one of us today until we are delivered of it. And then I think we are being delivered of it. I won't say we are delivered. I say we are being delivered of it. And so the problem with us today is that we are in rebellion against God. So we need to learn what the word of the Lord is and then to obey the word of the Lord. I think that would be a good idea. Okay, in Leviticus chapter 3, we will look here shortly at how we came to understand about the sins of our fathers shortly. I will not take great detail in it because I want to teach and deal with these areas this morning. But in Leviticus chapter 3, we were having a Bible study one time here, and we were studying the applications, the aspects of the blood of Jesus. And there are five of them, and I was showing what the scriptures are for each of them, and that there's one area that a lot of people use, especially Pentecostals and Baptists, that is not scriptural, but God has honored it because in our ignorance He's honored it. My mother, who's 94 years old, still uses it all the time. I've talked to her about it, but it's ingrained in her because of her Pentecostal background. And that statement is, I plead the blood. I plead the blood is unscriptural, and you have no scriptural basis for it. And if you're dealing in demonic realms with demons, sometimes they will laugh at you if you use that statement, because you have no scriptural basis. The blood of the Lord Jesus is a free given gift. Amen. And you do not need to plead for it, because it is a gift given to you to use for the kingdom. And there are five applications of the blood of Jesus that are scriptural to use. So we were studying in that. And one of those verses here is the 13th verse of this chapter, chapter 3. And it says, and he shall lay his hands upon the head of it and kill it before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the sons of Aaron shall sprinkle the blood thereon upon the altar around about. Now, I know some of you have heard me teach on this many times, but there are always many, many people who have never heard this. And I believe that this is the basis. What we're teaching this morning, I believe, is the basis for our deliverance from the ancestral heritage and curses that all of us are under. And we need to understand the basis so that then we have a background that we can stand on and appropriate and believe that we're set free from the ancestral curses as God shows them to us. There are many that we will not deal with today, but the Lord will, as you're praying and studying the scripture, the Lord, something will jump out at you and you say, oh, I need deliverance from that. And then you'll understand, and you can take authority and break the power of it and set yourself free, and as well as your family that are subject to you as well, if they are in authority to you. I believe that there comes a time when we have some authority, but not all authority over our children. They have come out from under to a degree, but we still can stand in the gap for them and be intercessors for them. Anyway, it says here that the sons of Aaron shall sprinkle the blood. So one of the applications that we have of the blood of Jesus is to sprinkle it. You can sprinkle the blood. Then there is the application of the blood of Jesus to apply the blood. We can apply the blood. Then there's the application of the blood of Jesus that you can appropriate the blood of Jesus. And then there's the application of the blood of Jesus that you can cover with the blood. Now, we've covered four, and I know a lot of you know what the fifth one is. The fifth one you'll find many places, but you'll find it in Revelation 12:11, washed in the blood of the Lamb. I believe it's either 12:11 or 12:12. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's the five applications that you have grounds and scriptural basis to use an authority for the blood of the Lord Jesus. So anyway, as we were studying, and I finished reading this chapter, and I read verse 17. And I read it just as I'm talking to you, and it didn't mean one thing to me the day I read it. And we went on with our Bible study in relationship to the blood of Jesus. But this verse 13 says, and it shall be a perpetual statute or law, a perpetual law, for your generations throughout all your dwellings, wherever you are, in all your dwellings, perpetual, forever, that you eat neither fat nor blood. Now, everybody, in one way or another, has been in rebellion against this. And the medical science has come along in the last few years and told us that the main reason for heart problems is that they haven't said this, but it's because we've disobeyed God's word and ate the fat in excess, and we've got heart problems and blocked arteries and plaque in our blood vessels, all because we've disobeyed God's word that he gave almost 3,000 years ago. And so we have been in rebellion against God almost ever since this commandment was given. And then there are many who are in rebellion about eating blood. Maybe some of you here have eaten blood sausage, blood pudding, blood soup. God says you're cursed if you have. And but when I read this, I did not see that. It didn't mean one thing to me. I just read over it and went on. And later that night, a lady who was here, the Lord woke her up and impressed her to study the scriptures about eating of blood. It wasn't the fat part, it was about the eating of blood. And she thought, well, Lord, what does that have to do with me? And she got up and studied, and as she did, the Lord impressed upon her that she had inherited a curse from her family line of sugar diabetes. For 2 days on Tuesday before this Thursday, she had gone to the doctor for a physical the first time in many years, and the doctor had told her that she was a borderline diabetic. And immediately, when the Lord showed her this in the night, the Lord showed her that her great-grandmother had died with sugar diabetes. Her grandmother had died with sugar diabetes. Her mother had died with sugar diabetes. She has two sisters who one of them has lost part of one of her feet with sugar diabetes. And now the doctor has told her that she's a borderline sugar diabetic. What's this got to do with all of this? Well, she comes back Saturday night to prayer meeting, and she was here, didn't say anything. Sunday morning we were having a service. It was about 25 of us here, Sunday morning service. And at the end of our praise and worship, well, I said, are there any special prayer requests, anything we need to pray about? And she stood up and said, I would like permission to say something. And I said, stay on. And this is what she said, that the Lord had woke her, told her to look up all the scriptures about eating of blood. And since then I have found 26 that I'm aware of, and most of them are in what some of you call the New Testament. I call it the book. And but over half of them are there. And she said that the Lord showed her that sugar diabetes was a curse, and that she had inherited it. It was inherited in the family line because her family had disobeyed the word of God and had ate blood sausage and blood pudding, and she was didn't know about blood soup. But she said, to my knowledge, I have never eaten any, to my knowledge. But I know that my mother did, and I know that my grandmother and my great-grandmother did, because they all made blood sausage and blood pudding. And the Lord showed me that if you would pray for me and break the curse, the Lord would set me free from it. I said, I don't understand what you're telling me, but if you feel the Lord wants us to do that, I will do it. So that was my first time to pray for anybody to break a curse. And I knew nothing about what I was doing. I had to study the word and find now what we're going to teach a little bit of this morning. So I prayed for her, and there were 9 people that stood up in this auditorium on this side that Sunday morning to have the curse of eating blood broken over them. So I didn't know anything about the fat yet. Because, see, I had to go back and look at this. And then I found that it said fat as well, because I didn't even remember reading it that night. So now we will study a little bit of what I have learned since that time, which relates to every one of us that's sitting here in this congregation, or whoever here this tape. It relates to every person that's present or whoever here this tape. So let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 27. And in Deuteronomy chapter 27, we will start with verse 15. Now, sometimes I go back to Leviticus 18 and Leviticus 20 because it lays the groundwork for this, that isn't fully covered here in this 28th chapter of Deuteronomy. So for your benefit, if you will go back later, mark down and go back and read Leviticus 18 and Leviticus 20, you will find some other things here that will help you in this same area. Especially, there was a remark made here. Tommy, did you talk about the ministerial period last night? Who? Doc did. There is a scripture, just for the benefit of that scripture, I will go back here to Leviticus, because that is important. It is both in 18 and 20, it is in both chapters, but we will just look at it in Leviticus 20, and it is the 18th verse of Leviticus 20. In Leviticus 18, it is verse 19, but we'll use chapter 20 and verse 18. And if a man shall lie with a woman having her sickness, he hath discovered her fountain, or her ministerial period. He hath discovered her fountain, and she hath uncovered the fountain of her blood, and both of them shall be cut off from among their people. Now, we have by reading the King James and not being able to read in the Hebrew or and Latin, and in the Hebrew some of us, we have not fully understood the interpretation, correct interpretation, of chapters 18 and 20, and even of Deuteronomy 28. For here where it says, if a man shall lie, that is actually, if a man shall have sexual intercourse, is a literal translation of that, and we need to understand that. And in chapter 18, if it says that if you have uncovered the nakedness, that literal translation is if you have had sexual intercourse, uncovered the nakedness means not just uncovering somebody and seeing them naked. That is not what that means. And the same there. So it says here in this chapter 18, 18 of chapter, verse 18 of chapter 20, that he has discovered her fountain, and she has uncovered the fountain of her blood, and both of them shall be cut off from among their people. Now, there's other verses here that we read. In chapter 18, it says, you shall not. In chapter 20, it says, you'll be cut off, or you'll be stoned, or you'll be burnt with fire. But the thought I want is that you'll be, you shall not, or you'll be cut off. How can you be cut off? The scripture says that we are allotted 70 years. And to he who does not arrive at 70 years, Satan has cut you off. And if you do not live out your 70 years, you have been cut off. So being cut off means that you will die before you have reached your allotted time of 70 years. And then after your allotted time of 70 years, whatever grace God allows and gives unto you, that you live in grace after that. God allowed Moses 120, and nowhere in the scripture has that ever been taken away. That 120 still stands today. And I decree that I will live to 120. Amen. And I believe that by then that the Lord will have come.
Amen.
Brother Glenn.
Yes, sir.
An animal, life expectancy for a dog is 2 years. So, his life is 14. A horse is 3 years. His life is 21. So, our adult age is 21, so that makes 147 years if we go by animal life.
Well, now that's, I hadn't heard that before. So as the life of an animal compared to the life of a human, our allotted time in that respect is 147. But God promised and gave to Moses 120.
Years.
Huh? 120. And nowhere has that scripture ever been not annihilated, but that's avoided, ever been voided. It still stands. So, Lord, give us faith. Give us the faith to believe.
Yes.
But in believing and achieving to that, we must understand the word and apply it to our lives, and then fulfill in each one of us the word of the Lord that is applicable to our lives, so that we will have the right to it. You see, we need the Scripture is the only thing that gives us that right. As we study the Scripture, as we learn the Scripture, and then obey the Scripture, we take Satan's rights away from us, and that gives us what? Life.
Amen.
Life. Death comes by disobeying the Word. Life comes by obeying the Word, by understanding it, applying it, appropriating it, and living in it. Making Jesus what He is to each one of us. Making Him. Understanding. This study that we're doing here on who Jesus is really is just thrilling me, because I see that I need to learn how to appropriate to me what Jesus is.
Amen.
He's my Redeemer. He's my Baptizer. All these things here He is. He's my peace. He's my righteousness. He's my conqueror. He's my shepherd. He's my Savior. He's all of these things. And I need to learn how to make Him that in me. And as He becomes that in me and in you, then we have that, the life of the ever-living in us. He is the ever-living. And as we have that life in us, then He becomes our life, and all these areas of our life that Satan has parts to us in infirmities and in our minds and all this, we can slowly kick Him out and get rid of Him and become what we're supposed to be and have a right to be. It is my right to be these things as I learn how to appropriate and apply them and make them part of me. Oh, that I can comprehend who Jesus is. We say He's Savior. We say He's Redeemer. Yes, Baptizer. He's all of that. But He is so much more. Lord, help us to understand who Jesus is. King of kings, Lord of lords, mighty God is He. Hallelujah. Well, let's get back and see if we can get some of these areas in our lives taken care of today that Satan's gotten a right to that we want to get rid of. And the only way we can do it is by obeying the word of the Lord. Amen. So, the Lord says you'll be cut off if you have sexual relations during the time of the ministerial period. And the Lord gives scripture in here about that, other scripture about it. But He says you'll be cut off. Now, I know of two ways that people are cut off because of circumstances where we have dealt with people. One way is female problems, and another way is prostate trouble, which eventually become prostate cancer, and eventually become cancer of the female organs. And some of that we have traced through praying with people to the fact of having sexual relations during the time of the menstrual period. And when the person's involved, ask the Lord to forgive them, ask the Lord to cleanse them of it, and repent, and then pray a prayer of deliverance for them, and then take authority over the spirit in the prostate or the female areas. Take authority over that spirit, command it to go, and then appropriate healing to the body through the scars and stripes that Jesus took at the whipping post. The body will restore itself, and the body will become well, because you have eliminated the cause and taken Satan's rights away. When you take his rights away by repentance and confessing the sin and repenting of it, you take Satan's rights away, then your body can restore itself. And the demon that has that place of a right to, has a legal right to you, when that demon is gone, then your body can restore itself. When you appropriate what Jesus done for us, our body can receive it. But we have to repent. Repentance is not out of stock. Never will be. For anybody until Jesus comes. Amen. Well, let's go over to Deuteronomy chapter 27. And we will read in Deuteronomy 27, starting with verse 15, and see what God has to say here to us. In a relation in the areas of the 18th and 20th chapter of Leviticus, we pick up again here in relation, in those two chapters, God said, you shall not. And he said, if you do, why, this will happen to you. You'll be stoned or you'll be burnt or whatever you'll find there. But here in the 27th chapter of Deuteronomy, in verse 15, we pick up and it says, cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image, an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and putteth it in a secret place, and all the people shall say, Amen. Now, we look at this and we say, well, I don't have any idols. Well, we've prayed for people who have had idols. They've had Buddhas in their house, and they've had problems, and until they renounced it and destroyed it, they had problems. We've prayed for people who've had statues in their house, and they've had to renounce them and destroy them. We've prayed people who've had whatnots in their house, just little things. And for some reason, that held a power over them, and they had to destroy them. I'm not saying everybody has to do that. But if there's something in your house that when you walk by it, you have a strange feeling, it gives you a strange feeling, you'd better get rid of it. Don't even ask why. Just get rid of it and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me for bringing it in my house, and get rid of it. We know definitely that owls and frogs bring abominations into your house. We have a tape that we will give to everybody who has never received one called The Arkansas Story, how we came here to Arkansas. And on the back of it, it has the account of Sharon Slagle, who was here yesterday from Memphis. She was here yesterday morning from Memphis. Irma sent, God sent Irma to her house when we didn't even know the girl. She was the daughter of Inez, the baron, who her and her husband, who found this piece of property for us, which you'll hear about on the tape. And the Lord sent Irma to her house, and she was dying of colon of the cancer. The doctors had given her up, and the cause of her problem was that she was worshipped owls, and she didn't worship the frog, but she had some in her house. But she literally worshipped owls, and she also had a Buddha, had a Buddha in her house, a gold Buddha. And when she cleansed her house and renounced it, and we burned it out here at the camp, right out here at the corner of the building, I took it and burned it. And before the pond was filled in, I burned it out here. And what wouldn't burn, the dozer happened to be sitting here, and I dug a hole with the corner of the dozer and buried it. And it's buried out here under about 15 feet of dirt. What wouldn't burn, it came out of her house. And after she renounced it, God miraculously healed her of cancer of the colon. And the doctors told her it'll come back. And that was 12 years ago or 13 years ago, something like that. And she's healthy and has no even thought of it ever coming back, because God healed her. When she got rid of the cause and repented of it, God restored her. And that be true with every one of you in whatever area of your life it relates to, whether it be in that area or in some other area, you obey God and repent. And if you've got something that you need to get rid of it. And God will restore you. He is in the restoring business. But we must obey the word of the Lord. And repentance is first of all, and then follow through with whatever else is required of you. But America, besides that area, America has hundreds of gods. And they're not idols in their house. Some people it's their furniture. Some people it's their home. Some people it's their yard. Some people it's their car. Some people it's the ball game, some people it's the hogs, some people it's the bulls, and some people it's the cowboys. Some people it's the bowling alley, or it's the fishing, or it's the hunting. That's their God. And if any of that, in any area of that, is your God, then you must get rid of it. If it's been hunting, you need to get rid of your guns. I'm not saying anything wrong with your gun, but in your case, you need to get rid of it. If it's fishing, you need to get rid of every bit of your fishing tackle. If it's keeping you from God, you need to get rid of it and never get it back again, because that's been your God. And until you do those things, God will not bless you, and you will not be able to walk in the fullness of the Lord. Money and pleasure is the biggest God in America. Money and pleasure. And the only way that the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, is going to walk in holiness and purity is to get cleaned up. And to get cleaned up is to have to different ones. You're going to have to get rid of different things so that they can be holy before the Lord. And you see, these things are not a god to everybody. But to some people, these things are a god. And to somebody else, other things are a god. So whatever comes between you and serving God and being faithful in the house of God, that is a god that stands between you and the Lord, and you're going to have to deal with it if you want the blessing of the Lord in your life as you say that you want, and I hope that you desire. And if you really do, you'll be willing to do whatever's necessary so that you can have God's blessing and have health. Have health. Okay. Well, we only got to curse one, didn't we? Well, having other gods, that is a horrible thing in America. And then it says, cursed be he that holdeth in light esteem his father or his mother. Or some say that setteth light by his father. But the literal translation is, cursed be he that holdeth in light esteem his father or his mother. And the first promise of long life are to those who honor their father and their mother. Now, your father and your mother may have done horrible things, but you still have to forgive them. You have to bless them. You cannot hold something against your father and your mother, no matter what they've done. No matter if there's been incest, no matter if there's been brutality or whatever you feel in your heart against or has been done, you must forgive. You cannot be set free from the curse of incest, until you forgive the person. First of all, you must forgive the person who you were involved with. You cannot be set free. We can pray with you from now until camp meeting's over, and you still will go home the same way you came. We are wasting our time, or whoever is praying with you, until you forgive the person that you were involved with, or was involved with you, or whatever it was. Whoever harmed you, whatever they did to you, somebody you worked with, your boss, your school teacher, somebody that was your boyfriend or your girlfriend, whatever the problem is, you must, first of all, you have to. It is absolute. You must forgive that person, and you must truly forgive them. You can't say, I forgive them, and tomorrow you think about it. No, you must say, I forgive from the bottom of my heart. Lord Jesus, I can't do it. You help me. Help me forgive, Lord. Help me forgive so that I can be free from this torment. Because the guilt of it is torment. It's mental torment. And then you can be set free. But you must first forgive. Well, okay. So you must honor your mother and your father. Then it says, cursed is he that removes a neighbor's landmark. Well, we don't have too much problem with that today, but back in the days when this was written, why, a pile of stones was the mark that, and in some parts of the world yet today, it is a pile of stones marks the corner of somebody's property, and they'd come along and move it over 20 feet or 30 feet, the stone marker, and God says you're cursed if you do that. So then this may apply to some other area of your life as well. There may be some other kind of a landmark that you're cursed with that you need to get out of your life. And then it says we're cursed if we make the blind to wander out of the way. And I see a different way of that as well as a person who is literally blind. If we find somebody in error in the Scriptures and we do not try to help them in a way that will be not dogmatic or beating them over the head, but if we do not try to help them, we are not helping the blind. We are letting the blind stay blind. So rightly dividing the word of truth and helping somebody to understand the Scriptures in a right relationship to their lives is also bringing them out of blindness. So many of us have been and are yet in blindness in some areas of the Scripture. There are many things in the Scripture that I do not admit I do not understand. I do not. There are lots of things that I understand today that I didn't understand a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. This about curses, I didn't understand this when we moved here. Never heard a thing about it ever in my life. And the first I ever heard of curses was right here in this room. And most of it has come out of my own mouth from what we have learned as we studied, as the Lord began to show this, and then we begin to study
to see what the Scripture said about it. And then after I found out what the Scripture said about it, what do we do about it? And we will show you what the Lord, and we'll do what the Lord showed us about it. So then it says, "And cursed is he who preventeth the judgment to the stranger, the fatherless, or the widow." So if we see somebody being treated unjustly and we have the ability to help them, we're cursed if we don't help them. Rather, and especially to the fatherless and to the stranger and to the widow. If it's in our ability to be a help, then we are required to do that. And it says, "Cursed be he that lieth with his father's wife." Incest. You're cursed it with incest. "And cursed be he that lieth with any manner of beast." Bestiality. You're cursed for bestiality. And it says, "Cursed be he that lieth with his sister, the daughter of his mother." And all the people shall say, "Amen." "The daughter of his father or the daughter of his mother." Sorry, I need to read that right, because that verse appears in all three chapters. And that verse is a compounded verse that takes in that three little lines, it takes in every aspect of a family. Any way you can put a family together, it's covered in that verse. If a father dies and leaves a mother with children, if a mother dies and leaves a father with children, and those two marry and have children again, that verse covers every aspect of that family. And God says that any relationship with any of that family, sexually, in any way, even though the father's children are not blood relative to the mother's children before they were married, God still says it's incest. And in our land, we have in most states, there's laws against brothers and sisters or cousins marrying each other. Now, it has happened when someone was unaware of it. We had a boy who used to live here with us. When we first came here, he lived here 2 years, and he had married his half-sister. And he was not aware that he married his half-sister until they were married. Or until either the day they got married or right after. He was not aware. They did not know that they were half-brothers and sisters. And because of adoption in the land, that is possible and has happened many times across the land, unawares. But if you're aware of it, God says, and we had a case brought here to us from Florida, a doctor's daughter and a Baptist preacher's son. They were first cousins, and they married each other, and with the blessing of the parents, of a doctor and a Baptist preacher, with the blessing. And they the girl almost was insane. Lost her mind almost, and they brought her here for help and prayer because that she was married to her cousin, and she felt that she could never be saved, and that she blasphemed the Holy Ghost and all of these things because she was married to him, and they had two children. Well, anyway, we've dealt with these areas. We've dealt with incest from the pulpit down through the board members and the congregation in the church right here that have come here for help and deliverance in this area. It's in every strata of life, bar none. Anyway, we've dealt with these areas. We've dealt with incest from the pulpit down through the board members and the congregation in the church right here that have come here for help and deliverance in this area. It's in every strata of life, bar none. And as I say, I believe that every family has that curse upon them. Well, anyway, here it says you're cursed. Incest, you're cursed. And then it says, "Cursed is he that lies with his mother-in-law." That's incest. And then it says, "Cursed is he that smiteth his neighbor secretly." You're cursed if you defame your neighbor or do something to cause them harm. You're cursed. And then you're cursed if you shed innocent blood. And God says that innocent blood must be accounted for. And America is bathed. In fact, the world is bathed in innocent blood. And America now is bathed in the innocent blood of abortion. and the judgment of God must come on America and is coming on America because of the shedding of innocent blood, which God says must be accounted for.
Yes.
Just as the blood of Abel cried out, clear up in Jesus' day, it was still crying out to be avenged. So is the blood of the innocent crying out unto God to be avenged today.
Yes.
And it will be avenged. The greatest crime today in America is the abortion. The offering of children to the god of Baal. That's what Baal worship was. They offered the firstborn to Baal. They burned it in sacrifice to Baal, and that's what's being done with abortion. They're offering the children to the god of sex and to the god of lust. And literally, the child is burnt because they inject it with a saline solution that literally causes the child to burn in the womb and die. And it is a curse that this nation is under. And until that law is reversed and the nation repents, God's judgment is on the land. But thank God that we are part of the solution and not part of the problem. Help us to be part of the solution. Help us to be those who stand and declare that the righteousness of the Lord in the land. Then there's the curse of homosexuality, bestiality, and lesbianism. There's that curse. We're cursed with that as well. And the curse of pornography. Curse in the land. And then over here in, let's go back to Malachi chapter 1. And then we'll come back to chapter 28 of Deuteronomy. Malachi is easy to find. You just find Matthew and back up two pages or three, whatever your Bible's got in between there, and you will have Malachi. It's the last book before Matthew, and it's real easy to find. But here in Malachi, which was written about 500 years before Jesus, and verse 1 and verse 14, it says, "Cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and voweth and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing, for I am Elohim, a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen." So the Lord says we're cursed if we make a vow or promise the Lord something and then don't keep our vow. Back in the days when this was written, when people made a vow to a portion of their land, what the crop was on it, or they made a vow for an animal, a sheep or a bullock or a goat, and the Lord says, if you make that vow and then decide that the one you vowed is the best one you got in the flock, and you bring a different one, you're cursed for it. Not only will I not receive your vow from you, but you're cursed as well. And today the Lord, it's in a different light. If you promise the Lord something, you'd better keep your promise, because if you don't, you're cursed. And if for some reason you can't keep your promise, you need to go to the Lord and tell the Lord, "Lord, I made a promise and I can't keep it, and I'm sorry about that. Will you forgive me? Will you release me from my promise?" And if you've made vows to the Lord and you haven't kept them, you need to go to the Lord and either keep the vow or ask the Lord to release you from it so that you can come out from underneath the curse of not keeping the vow of that you the promise that you made to the Lord. And then it goes on to say, "And now, O you priest, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not lay to heart to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you. And I will curse your blessings." You know, we sing Abraham's blessings are mine. But here the Lord says that the blessings that he promised will be cursed. The blessing will be a curse. "Yea, I've cursed them already, because you don't believe it. You don't lay it to heart. You don't believe my word. Therefore, your blessings are cursed." So the Lord says here that you priest, this commandment is for you. And today we understand that The male is the head of the house, the priest of the house. So every head of the house is the priest of the household. Therefore, it's the responsibility of the priest of the household to give glory unto the Lord. So as we come and give praise and glory unto the Lord, we are giving praise to the Lord. We are offering our offering of praise, and as a priest, we are presenting it unto the Lord that the Lord may receive the praise that's due Him. And He says that if we don't do that, He will send a curse upon us. So we are required to give praise and glory unto the Lord if we want to receive and have the blessings. Then over in chapter 3 here of Malachi, it says, even from the days of your fathers, verse 7, you have gone away from mine ordinances or my laws and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts, or the God of armies. That word host literally means armies. He's the God, He is the Lord of armies. But you say, wherein shall we return? You say, will a man rob God? God says, yes, you've robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, and there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of armies, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out you a blessing, and there shall not be room to receive it. People come and say, pray for me for my finances. I've got awful financial problems. Well, you know, the first thing we really ought to say to them, and I think we all need to start thinking about it, are your tithes taken care of? Do you pay your tithes? Have you been paying your tithes? Are they paid? If they say no, say, well, I'm going against God's word if I pray for you, because God says you're cursed if you haven't paid your tithes. And I can't pray against God's curse. So if you want God's blessing and want to be prayed for your finances, first of all, start paying your tithes. Then somebody can pray for you for the blessing. But if you don't pay your tithes, you're cursed. And if I pray for you for a blessing for your finances, all I'm doing is multiplying your curse. Think about that. It's awesome, isn't it? But God says if we pay our tithes, He will supply. He says sufficient for the day it will be. He didn't say for your wants, for your Cadillac, or for your speedboat. But the car that fits what you're able to have, God will supply it. It might be a 1965 Volkswagen in good shape, running order. But that might be all you need. But God says He'll supply it if we are obedient to Him. And then, as our faith is, be it unto us to have more. God doesn't say He doesn't want us to have these other things if we have need for them. But if you're just buying it for your pride and for yourself, then it's a curse. Because God says He's giving us finances to multiply the kingdom. Not to multiply our own things. Things are fine. Things are fine. God is not against us having nice things. Not at all. But He also requires, first of all, that we take care of what is His. And then He will take care of us. Okay. And He says here in verse 6, He says, I am Elohim. I am Elohim, the Lord. I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. He says, it's a good thing I'm a merciful God, or you'd be consumed because of your rebellion against me. But if it wasn't for my mercy, you'd be consumed because you rebel against my word. But my word does not change. I change not. You're the one. I'm the one that's got to change. Oh, I don't believe that's for me today. That was for them back there then, and that doesn't apply to me today. Well, I'm not going to say that anymore, because I think I want God's blessing. And God says, I change not. And if He don't change, then I'm the one that's got to change. And Lord, help me to be willing to change. Well, let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 28. And we will start coming down to the end of this. And in Deuteronomy 28, verse 15, it says, and it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God, unto the ever-living, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon you, and they will overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the field. Cursed shall be your basket and your store or food. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body, you'll be barren, and the fruit of thy land, and the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. And the Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, rebuke, in all that thou settest thine hand for to do, until you be destroyed, and until you perish quickly, because of the wickedness of your doings, or your rebellion against your word, my word, whereby you have forsaken me. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto you, until he has consumed you from off the land, whether you go to possess it. The Lord will smite thee with a consumption, with a fever, with an inflammation, with an extreme burning, with the sword, with blasting, and with mildew. And they shall perish, and they shall pursue thee until you perish. And the heaven that is over thee, thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. And the Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. America suffered that once, and it probably will again, the days of the Dust Bowl in the 30s. Some of us here lived through that and saw the hand of God. We saw the hand of God in his mercy to those who served him. I saw my dad walk around the 40-acre field of corn that was dying because there was no rain. And it rained that night on that 40 acres of corn. And nobody else in that whole area had any rain. But that 40 acres had rain. And that 40 acres bore corn. Amen. I've seen food multiply. God's faithful. So when the day comes, believe in the ever-living. For he is King of kings and Lord of lords. And Jesus is his name. He will supply. But we don't want any of this to happen to us. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before your enemies. You shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and shall be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. And thy carcass shall be meat unto the fowl of the air and to the beast of the earth, and no man shall fray them away. And the Lord shall smite thee with the botch of Egypt, and with the emerods, and with the scab, and with the itch, wherewith thou canst not be healed. And the Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart, and so forth. And you shall grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in thy way, and thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man will save you. Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. Thou shalt build a house, and you shall not dwell there. And thou shalt plant a vineyard, and you shall not gather the grapes thereof. Thine ox shall be slain before your eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. And thine ass shall be violently taken away from before your face, and shall not be restored unto thee. Thy sheep shall be given unto thine enemies, and thou shalt have none to rescue thee. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long. And there shall be no might in thine hand. The fruit of thy land and thy labors shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up, and thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed always, so that thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes, which thou shalt see. And the Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore botch that cannot be healed, from the sole of thy feet unto the top of thy head. Now we have done a study and taken all of these areas and appropriated and applied them to different areas of sickness and disease, but that they are appropriate too. But God says that he'll bring all the diseases of Egypt upon you if you rebel against his word. And God said it, so when the familiar from the spirit of infirmity that comes down the family line comes down to you, the only way you can get rid of it is to repent before the Lord and break the curse, which we're going to do over things here this morning. And you can do it just as well, for there will be areas of your life that the Lord will show you that you still, over the years, days to come, and maybe even years, as they are shown and revealed to you, you will need to work on, and that you can be set free from them. Verse 45 says, "Moreover, All these curses shall come upon you and shall pursue you and overtake you until you be destroyed, because you hearken not unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commandeth thee this day. And verse 58 says, if thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear the glorious and fearful name of the Lord thy God, and Jesus is his name, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful or many, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues, and of long continuous. Now, you notice what he says here. He says long continuous and sore sickness, and then he repeats, and long continuance. In other words, you will not be able to get rid of them. They will be there, and they will cause your death, cause you to be cut off, allow Satan to cut you off before your allotted time. So we need to be seriously look at all these areas and then apply them to our everyday life and work on them so that we can live and not die, so that we'll have life and health and not sickness and death. Life and death is in the tongue. It's in, Lord, I say I will live. Lord, I say I will obey your commandments and your word. To the best of my ability, Lord, I'm going to study so that I understand it, and then I'm going to rightly apply it to my everyday life. Now, there are some areas of Scripture, if you study it, that you will find will really bother you. And you say, Lord, that's not what I was taught. That's not what I heard. I heard it taught so-and-so and so-and-so. And I'm not going to get involved in some of that this morning here. But there are areas in the Scripture that some of you would vehemently resist this morning if I quoted them to you. So I'm not going to do that. We're going to work with this. And then as time goes on, the Lord will show you some of these other areas and lay on your heart and show you that you need to obey those areas as well. It was about the eating of blood. Many places we have prayed for people about to break the curse of eating of blood, and one area, not all, but one area of eating of blood allows Satan the right of sugar diabetes and hyperglycemia. That is one curse that comes that is partially from eating of blood. Now, sugar diabetes and hyperglycemia may have other reasons as well. I'm not saying it doesn't, but that is one reason that I positively know. People have, if they have sugar diabetes and they know in their family history that there has been eating of blood and blood sausage and blood pudding or blood soup, and they have that, I know that when we pray for them and break that curse, I know that they'll be healed. And there are other things as well with heart trouble and some other areas, and also with female problems and prostate trouble. If they've sinned in that area, I know that they'll be healed. So, but I've had people when I've talked about that. I had two women one time came together to be prayed for arthritis and sugar diabetes and overweight. They were obese, both of them, and both of them had sugar diabetes, arthritis, and heart trouble. But instead of letting me pray for them, they both wanted to argue with me that blood sausage and blood pudding was good, and blood soup was quick energy, and it was good for you, and it gave you quick energy, and they wanted to argue with me about it instead of renouncing it and being prayed for. And finally, I had other people to pray for, and finally, I refused to pray for them and told them that I had no time to discuss it with them. If they did not want to renounce it, I had people who wanted to be prayed for, and I dismissed them and told them to leave. They did not want to receive what the Word said. They were in rebellion against God's Word, and they did not want and would not change. And if you're of that mind frame, keep your infirmity. It'll not go. Anyway, how far did I read? Did I read this, 58?
Yes,
I did. Well, let's read. Well, no, I think I think I quit in 60 somewhere. I don't think I got clear to the bottom. And in 60 says, moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which you were afraid of,
and they shall cleave unto thee. And we've just read a list of them over here, or most of them. But this last verse is the censure, 61. Also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law. And we've got some sicknesses and some plagues in the land today that are not written in the book. And AIDS is one of them. And cancer is probably another one. Then will the Lord bring upon you until you are destroyed. So the Lord says that the plagues of Egypt, the infirmities of Egypt, if you're in rebellion and do not obey God's word, that they have a legal right to you because God says that He brings them on you. Say, oh, God wouldn't do that. God's a God of love. I'm sorry. God says if you rebel against my word, that is what you're going to receive. You're going to receive the curses of Egypt. So it gives Satan a legal right to you if you do not obey his word in various areas of your life. And we need to repent, and then we need to rightly learn to rightly divide the word and apply it to our lives, and to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that's not ashamed of the word of God, and applying it to our everyday life so that we can live in health and happiness and have to that which the Lord has for us. Rightly dividing the word of the Lord. Well, I want to go back and read one more scripture, and then I want to read it out of Fiar Fenton. Deuteronomy 5, verse 1 through 9, I'm going to read out of Fiar Fenton. Now, here in verse 1 of chapter 1 of Genesis, it says that the first creation of the universe was by Elohim. So, it says here, by periods, Elohim, God, created that which produced the solar system, and so forth and so on. Now, why I'm reading that is to show you that the word God, as it appears in most places, is Elohim. Now I want to turn over and read to us chapter 5, in chapter 5, down through verse 9 of Deuteronomy, from Fiar Fenton. Moses said, "Assemble all Israel, and say to them, Listen, Israel, to the constitutions and decrees which I proclaim in your hearing today, both to learn them and to preserve them by practicing. Our ever-living Elohim contracted a covenant with us in Horeb. Not with our fathers did the ever-living contract that covenant, but with us, ourselves. Those in this place, all of us that are alive here today, the ever-living spoke face to face with you at the hill from the midst of the fire." So the ever-living spoke to the children of Israel face to face and made a covenant with them. He made a covenant. And the word Elohim also means a covenant God. "And I stood between the ever-living and you at that time to report to you the dictation of the ever-living. For you were afraid at the presence of the fire and could not ascend to him. And he said, I am, or Elohim, your ever-living Elohim, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods in my place. You shall not make for yourself an image, any likeness of what is in the heaven above, or what is in the earth beneath, or what is in the waters lower than the land. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. I, your ever-living Elohim, am a jealous God, punishing the sins of the parents upon their children to the third and fourth generation of those that do not or hate or do not obey my word." Okay. How do we get rid of the curses? We repent and then ask the Lord to forgive us. And then we appropriate. Because when this first happened, I said, "Lord, I don't understand this." And I thought that all the curses were gone. Because I was taught that Jesus became my curse at Calvary, which he did. And I was taught that when I got saved, all the curses were done away with, which they are not. Because we have to apply and appropriate the fact that Jesus became our curse. It is written in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." And I can stop right there And you can tell me that all the world is saved because Jesus, because God gave Jesus for our sins. Am I correct? Can I stop there? Got to finish the verse, don't I? That whosoever, and I thank God I'm a whosoever, that whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we have to apply and appropriate. So just as we have to appropriate Jesus for our salvation, so we must do the same with the fact that Jesus became my curse. Just because he hung on the tree to become my curse does not automatically break the curses off of my life. I must apply and appropriate Galatians 3:13 that Jesus became my curse. And then I have authority in the name of Jesus to break the curses and to set myself and you to set yourself free from that which we're bound in are the curses that we've inherited from our ancestral line. So we're going to do that this morning. I have already used all my time, but we can't quit here. So we're going to pray. I'm going to pray and take authority, stand in the place of the priest here in behalf of us this morning, and we will go through some of the curses. I said some. And believe that the Lord hears and answers our petitions. Father, I come in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus. That name that is above every name, the name which our knee doth bow and our tongue doth confess, that he is Lord. To which every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, that Jesus Christ is Lord. And Father, I come in that name that's above every name today. And I come in the fact that Jesus became our curse. I come in the fact that Jesus bore my sins at Calvary, that I might have be free from the sins of my own and the sins of my ancestors. And the fact that Jesus became my curse at Calvary. And Father, I come this day as a priest in behalf of these that are under the sound of my voice and myself. And I come and take authority over the curses that we've inherited down through our ancestral heritage, or the curses we've gotten under because of our own sins. And Father, I lift up before you these people and myself, and I take a place of a position and authority in the name of the Lord Jesus, and I put the blood of Jesus to separate and to cleanse between each one of us and the curse that we are under because of our sins or the sins of our ancestors. And I go back 30, 40, 50 generations and I take authority over the curse of incest. And I bind the curse of incest and adultery and fornication. And I break that curse over from our ancestral line. And for Satan it is written that Jesus became my curse in Galatians 3:13. And I take a place of authority and dominion. And I break the curse of incest over these people. The curse of adultery and fornication. I bind your power, Satan. And I release these people from the curse. And I break your dominion and your hold over them in Jesus' name. I come against the curse of guilt that they're under. I come against the curse of shame that they're under. I come against the curse and I break and I loose them from the curse of shame and guilt in Jesus' name. I come against the curse of adultery and the abominable curse of filth. I break the curse of it in Jesus' name. Come out in the name of Jesus. You foul, unclean spirits, I bind and break your dominion in Jesus' name. Come out of these people. Come out in the name of Jesus. I set them free. I loose them from it in Jesus' name. I break the curse of shame. I break the curse of fornication. I break the curse and I loose them from it in the name of Jesus. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. I loose them from it in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for it. I thank you for it, Father. I thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Father, I come against also the curse of having sexual relations during the time of the ministerial period. I come against that curse. Father, I thank you for the blood of Jesus to forgive anyone here who has been involved in that. Father, I thank you for the blood to cleanse and to wash. I thank you for forgiveness in Jesus' name. Irma, I thank you for it, Father. I praise you for it. Father, I come against that curse. I put the blood of Jesus to cleanse and to wash in Jesus' name. I thank you for it, Father. And I break that curse over these people. I loose them from it in the name of Jesus. The blood cleanses, the blood washes and forgives. There's forgiveness. And I break the curse of it. I come against the curse of prostate trouble, prostate problems, prostate cancer. I bind you. I break your assignment. I bind you. Come out of them in Jesus' name. I come against the curse
of female problems. I break the curse of it over them in Jesus' name. I bind your power. I loose these women from it in Jesus' name. I come against the curse of female problems, of cancer in the uterus, cancer in the ovaries. I break the curse of it. I loose them from it in Jesus' name. I thank you for it, Father. I thank you for it, Jesus. I praise you for it, Father. I thank you for it. I come against a curse of bestiality. I come back, go back to 15 generations, 20 generations. I break the curse of bestiality over everyone that's in the family line. I go back and I take authority over it. I put the blood of Jesus to cleanse and to wash, and I break the power of the curse of the devil. I bind you. I take your rights away. You no longer have any rights. I bind your power and break your assignment in Jesus' name. I loose these people from the curse of bestiality. I come against the curse of homosexuality and lesbianism. I bind your power, you filthy, unclean spirits. I bind and break your assignment over these families. I loose the families from it in Jesus' name. You spirit of bestiality, homosexuality, lesbianism. I break the curse of filthiness. I break the curse of it in the name of Jesus. Curse of pornography. I bind and break the curse of pornography. Come out in Jesus' name. Loose them. Come out in the name of Jesus. I put the blood of Jesus to cleanse and to wash. I loose these people from the curse. I break the assignment over them in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. I put the blood to cleanse and to wash. I break your assignment. I take your rights away. I loose you from it in Jesus' name. Well, thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I come against the spirit of shedding of innocent blood, abortion. I come against abortion and murder, spirit of abortion and murder. I bind you, shedding of innocent blood. I bind your power. Satan, I bind your power. You spirit that likes innocent blood. You spirit that likes blood. You spirit, you demonic power of satanic worship, a worship of Satan that likes the shedding of blood. I bind and break your power in Jesus' name. I loose these people, anyone that's been involved in abortion. Anyone that's worked or had anything to do with counseling for an abortion, that caused an abortion, I put the blood to cleanse and to wash them. I break the curse over them in Jesus' name. I loose them from the curse of it in Jesus' name. I break that curse of abortion, shedding of innocent blood and murder. I come against murder, rage and anger, alcohol, a strong drink, a wine, a mockery. I come against mockery and strong drink and rage and anger and violence. I come against the spirit of violence and rage and anger. I bind and break your assignment over these people. I loose them from it in Jesus' name. I put the blood to cleanse and wash. Satan, I bind you. You foul devils, I bind you. I take your rights away. Come out of these people. Come out of them in Jesus' name. I break your dominion. Take your rights away. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Father, I lift up those who have made vows and haven't kept their vows. I lift up those, Father. Father, I lift them up. First, I come against the power of the occult. Spirit of the occult, I bind you. Spirit of the occult, spirit of witchcraft, spirit of the occult, spirit of mind control, I bind you. I break your assignment over every person under the sound of my voice. Spirit of mind control, spirit of the occult, powers of the occult, I break your dominion. Come out in Jesus' name. I take your rights away. I put the blood to cleanse and to wash. I break the dominion of the powers of the occult, witchcraft, sorcery, mind control, seances, hypnotism. I break the curses of it in Jesus' name. Come out of these people. I loose them from it in Jesus' name. I break all the powers of the occult in the name of Jesus. New Age. I break the curse of the New Age movement. I break the powers of the New Age. I loose them from it in Jesus' name. I break the powers of it in Jesus' name. We have a new day coming, but it's the day of the Lord. It's not a New Age. It's not a new world or one world government. It's a government of the Lord Jesus. It's a government that's on His shoulders. He is the government is on the shoulders of the Lord, and it's His government. And we bind that power of the New Age and the power of the occult. Break its assignment in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Father. Praise you for it. Now, I come against and loose and put the blood of Jesus to cleanse and wash anyone who's made a vow and hasn't kept their vow. I put the blood to cleanse and to wash. Father, forgive them. Forgive them, Lord, of the vow they've made and didn't keep. Help them, Lord, to repent of it, Father. Help them. And Father, I thank you for forgiving them. And I thank you for cleansing them, Father. We loose them from the curse. Galatians 3:13, devil, it is written that Jesus became their curse. I loose them from the curse in Jesus' name. I break its dominion. I loose them from it in Jesus' name. Now, Father, I come and lift up those who have not been faithful to pay their tithes. Their finances, they've had trouble with their finances. Father, I put the blood of Jesus to cleanse them. Help, Father, I thank you for forgiving them. I thank you for forgiving them. I go back in their ancestral heritage, Father, 30, 40, 50, 100 generations, Father, of men who have not given God the glory and not give God that portion which was His. And I break that curse that's come down through the family lines on all of us, of our ancestors who've not given to God the glory and not given to God that portion that belonged to Him. I break the curse of it over us. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. And I put the blood to cleanse and to wash us and to separate us from the curse of our ancestors who've not given God the glory and not given God that portion which belonged to Him, the tithe that is His. Forgive us, Lord. And Father, I break the curse of it, and I loose us from the curse of poverty. You spirit of poverty, I bind and break your dominion over these people, and I loose us from the spirit of poverty. I break your assignment over us in Jesus' name. Spirit of poverty, I break your assignment. I loose these people from you in Jesus' name. You ragged old man of the poverty, I rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Go in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Father. Thank you for it. Thank you for it. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Father, we will give you the glory in Jesus' name. We will give Jesus the glory. We will give you praise. We will give you glory. We will give you praise. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Now, Father, I come against the spirits of infirmity. Father, I don't have time to name all the many spirits of infirmity this morning, but I come against the spirits of infirmity. I come against the spirit of arthritis. Father, if there's unforgiveness, Father, in somebody's heart, help them to forgive. Help them to be quick to forgive. The spirit of arthritis, I rebuke you. I break your assignment. Spirit of heart trouble, I rebuke you. Spirit of hardening of the arteries, I rebuke you. Alzheimer's, I rebuke you. I break your assignment in Jesus' name. Mind problems, problems in the memory, I rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. So, problems with the liver and the kidneys, problems in the intestines, problems with the stomach and the lungs, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. I break your assignment over these people. I speak healing and restoration by the scars and stripes that Jesus took at the whipping post. I speak healing. I command the bodies to receive healing. But problems in the back, problems in the kidneys, problems in the vertebrae, problems in the hips, problems in the legs and in the joints. I rebuke you. I break your assignment. Spirits of infirmity, problems with the eyes and the ears, sinus troubles, spirits of infirmity in the sinus. I rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. I break your dominion over us. I loose us to health and strength. For it is written in Isaiah 53 that by the suffering of the whipping post, He took my infirmities and He carried my diseases. And by the scars and stripes of the whipping post, there's healing in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I appropriate the healing of the Lord Jesus. Bodies, receive ye the healing virtue of the Lord Jesus. Receive healing in Jesus' name. Receive the healing that Jesus supplied and provided for us at the whipping post by His scars and stripes. Father, we receive that healing. Body, I command our bodies, my body, I command the body, I command you, receive the healing virtue of the Lord. Receive the healing of the Lord. In Jesus' name, I appropriate the healing virtue of the Lord into our physical bodies. Receive it in Jesus' name. Body, begin to restore yourself. Body, begin to mend. Body, begin to restore. I speak healing and restoration. I speak restoration into our bodies in the name of Jesus. We shall live and not die. We shall live and not die to declare the glory of the Lord. We shall live to declare the glory of the Lord. We shall live and not die in the name of Jesus. I will declare, I do declare the glory of the Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord. King of kings, Lord of lords. Jesus is His name. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the Alpha and Omega. Elohim, Jehovah, Yahweh, a mighty God. Great and mighty is He, and Jesus is His name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.